everyone, welcome back to my channel. If you're new here, my name is Bax and it's absolutely fabulous meeting you. Today I'm with the fantastic Cameron.
Hi everybody. If you don't know, I call Barbara Bob Zozo.
You don't have to shout, you have the mic.
Sorry, I do have the mic. Sorry, my bad. I'm in live lounge mode. Anyway.
You're screaming.
Yeah.
Please, Zozo. Can someone tell this guy that Bob Zozo is not a nickname? Because I started calling him Cam Zozo and then he was like, okay, if you call me Cam Zozo, I'm going to call you Bob Zozo.
Guys.
But Bob Zozo does not...
No. I think it sounds good. Okay, let us know in the comment section. Do you find Bob Zozo a cool name?
Yeah, I don't think Bob Zozo flies.
I think it's a wonderful name.
No, maybe,
I really
maybe Bobanizer or something.
Bobanizer.
Yeah, no, Bob Zozo.
Bob Zozo, it has presence to it.
No, like, it doesn't,
imagine you walk, in and you're like, my name is Bob Zozo. There, look guys, it's Bob Zozo over there.
No, but Cam Zozo sounds like... You're a cool kid.
Sure.
You sound like, it's a thug name.
Sure.
I think it's a nice thug name, but like a friendly thug.
But the thing is, Bob Zozo, an Indian thug is not like a, that's not scary. An Indian thug, no one would be scared of an Indian thug. Imagine someone like an Indian coming out to give
that.
Me your money. They'll be like, what are you doing?
Have you been to Phoenix?
I have. I grew up, no, I didn't grow up there. I was,
did
my,
you?
My parents grew up there, so.
I heard it's very dangerous.
It is, eh? It really is. Yeah. I get freaked out sometimes, but. Yeah.
There was a boy in my like grade 9. He was from Phoenix.
Oh really?
And he came like halfway through the year and he told us like I'm a thug. And like he had a gold tooth and everything. And he had the walk.
Okay, but wait,
and he wore like some shiny
Were you intimidated
shoes.
Though?
Yes, he was scary.
Okay.
But I'm also just scared.
That
of...
breaks the myth of Indians being scary.
Yeah.
Not being scary, sorry. Yeah.
See, so. That's very racist of
my bad.
This is a zero tolerance.
No. But
platform.
I have the right to say it. Because I'm Indian. Okay, you see,
okay,
I'm Indian.
We're not going to open this
okay,
can
okay,
of
before
worst.
We get cancelled, I think we should
before
go
we get
to,
cancelled, let's get into the conversation.
Another topic, yeah.
Yeah, so I brought Cameron on here to chat to us about burnout, because something that Cameron and I have in common is we were working.
Yeah, we work way too hard.
Yo, we work.
The rest is not in my dictionary.
Vocabulary.
Nah, it's not there.
But we're
it's
also the there. People then who rock up on a Sunday looking like zombies.
Yeah,
because
we really do, hey?
Yeah,
like it's
we're
just
going through a lot.
Yeah.
But before we tap into it, I want to ask you an icebreaker, right?
Sure.
Okay, two truths, one lie, because it's standard procedure here on the podcast. You have to give us two truths and one lie about yourself. Don't tell us which one is the lie. I'm going to try and guess.
Yo, Barbara,
yeah.
I haven't thought about this, hey? Two truths
it
and one
lie. It can't be that
lie.
Hard.
Okay, all right, sure. One is I got 80% in my math exam in matric. Another one is that I like banana and pizza.
Okay.
And another one is that I'm a superhero fanatic. Yes.
I think maybe getting 80% on your math exam, because you don't really see the marks of your math exam.
Well, sorry, my final mark.
Oh, your final
said,
mark.
My final
okay,
mark.
Then
yeah,
I know
yeah.
it's the truth. I know that's the truth.
Okay.
Surely you're not a superhero fanatic.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, that's the lie.
Is that the lie?
Yeah.
No, that's true.
That's true?
Yes.
Oh.
The lie.
You looked at the camera instead of looking at me. So the first two times you like looked at me.
Barbara,
and then
you
looked
see,
at the camera.
I know how to play the game.
Damn.
I know how to play the game.
Wow.
Yes,
so
the lie.
Men are really good liars.
I'm not commenting on that. I'm refusing to comment on that.
That's funny.
But the lie is actually that I got 80%.
On your maths exam?
Yeah, I think I got 50% on the dot.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes.
Wait, you know what, Ned? When you said that,
yes.
In my head I was like, well, you studied engineering, so
I
that
didn't
makes
study
sense.
Engineering.
I know,
yes.
Because you're literally doing your master's in marketing.
Marketing. Now see, guys, the question I want to ask is, what made you think an Indian with glasses is now studying engineering? So I'm not meaning to get cancelled, sorry. I keep on making these jokes. I actually need to stop. I need to stop making Indian jokes. It needs to stop.
Cameron!
Sorry, my bad.
I'm screaming. I don't know why. Like, in my head, everyone studied engineering. Like, I don't know
no, I
why.
Get you. My brother's actually studying engineering.
Do you have a brother?
I do.
I didn't know that.
Okay,
how many siblings do you have?
I have two.
Are you the eldest?
I am the eldest.
Nice.
Yes.
Firstborn club, which is
you also firstborn. There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, something
first
like that.
Club.
My firstbornness is debatable, though. It's kind of complicated.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I know people are going to get angry that I have banana on pizza.
That's crazy,
but
also. Like, that's very weird. Where, what possessed you to
no,
even
no,
start
no, no.
having banana on
okay,
pizza?
Okay, no. It's when I was younger.
Sorry, I just wanted to
I was in some short thing. I went to some pizza place and they had banana, I think bacon as well. And I was like, this is extreme. This is for psychopaths. But when I ate it, it actually tasted decent. Not that I have it all the time.
And then you decided it's my favorite thing in the world.
And you know what's scary is that I keep this a secret, but now I'm exposing it to the world.
As you should.
I'm coming out, guys, for my banana on pizza love, okay?
That's weird.
Yes, that is very, very weird.
We also have questions, okay, right? So sure. We've got some questions from the girlies.
Oh, wow. There's questions.
Yes, just three questions.
Three
nothing
questions.
Hectic.
Okay, sure.
Well, the first question is a normal question. Are you single? Are you ready to mingle?
Guys, I am single. And I'm definitely ready to mingle. So.
Yeah, ready to mingle.
Sorry, no. After the last video that we posted, I shouldn't be saying that. Actually, so guys, I am a man of God. I'm in my singleness.
Yes.
I'm not focusing on girls right
now. Exactly.
But
you're
definitely ready to mingle,
though.
Okay, guys, forget the other stuff I said. Yes. Anyway.
What is mingling? Can I just ask? Because no one actually like.
That is true. That's a good question.
What does it mean? I'm ready to mingle.
I think just being open to the potential for a relationship.
Mm.
So I think you're still socializing with girls. You're still, you know.
Very scary.
Doing stuff like that. But yeah, on a serious note though, yeah, it's not like I'm actively seeking for someone right now. But it's kind of like I am still open if there is.
Like if you walk to the shop today and a bombshell is like standing there.
If when I look at her and like God's confirming this is your wife
this is
right
immediately
now.
Immediately on the
I'm
spot.
I'm going.
That's very funny.
Yeah,
the second
yeah.
one is what do you value the most in a partner?
Wow. It's fascinating because we're not even speaking about relationships today.
No, we're not.
But
it's
I love that the questions
listen,
are,
listen.
Are saying this, yeah.
Hmm.
I think communication, like open communication. Because it has to do more that I can be quite anxious a lot and I overthink.
Yes,
so I think like open communication can help me in that. And just and there's no like games being played or I have to assume things. It's kind of like a thing of, okay, cool. We know where we're both
your
at. So I would, for sure.
Cameron, I can go on about
yes,
this actually
games.
The whole day. About
yes,
games.
I don't play
we're not
games.
Gonna get
yes,
into
we're
that.
Not gonna get another day. Another
no.
day.
And
yes.
then the last one. What are your preferences in terms of finding the one?
Your preferences in terms of finding the one?
Mm.
Hmm.
Really, that's a hard question.
That's a very hard question.
Let's
Which
find another
person
one.
Asked that one?
Hey, dude, these girls are very...
Yeah, they focus.
How much must the age difference be between you and the one you're finding?
Yo, I think it can range... Yo, so now older or younger, is it, are we going both ways there?
I don't know, would you date an older woman?
I would date
That's
an
crazy.
Older woman. I would.
Wow. You're brave.
I think 5 years max.
Older.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
wow. 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 Wow.
And then.
Wow, that's a lot.
Is it a lot?
Yo, wow.
I didn't know that. I'm finding out now from Barbara.
No, don't take my word for it.
Okay,
cause
sure.
I'm very like.
I get you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then younger, I think. So I'm 23.
You can't say anything less than 18 when you get
No,
arrested.
No, I wasn't. No. Don't listen to Barbara. I was not going in that direction. I think probably 20.
20.
Yeah,
yeah that's decent.
Yes.
But like when you're 25, would it still be 20?
Yeah, but she has to be mature then.
Like seriously mature.
Mature,
hmm.
Yes.
Like
that's
you,
I can go
you
five.
You know when I first met you, I thought you were like 27.
Exactly why I'm going for the 5 year older mark, you get me?
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I'm joking. I make a lot
yes,
of jokes.
Cameron
again.
Is a wild child.
I am, eh?
You're very wild.
I am.
That's why you're tired. This is why you're burnt
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that is true, guys.
Because
the wildness overtakes me.
It takes
it uses
you...
too much energy,
mm.
and then I'm tired. I burn out.
What would you say is burnout? Like, define burnout. For someone who's hearing it for the very first time, have no idea what burnout is, what in the world is that?
Man, burnout for me is when you reach the end of yourself completely. So it's kind of like you've given everything into every space that you possibly can.
Yeah.
And you're trying to meet all these deadlines, commitments, and it's just like a thing of you have nothing left to give after
you're
that.
You're finished.
You are finished, depleted. The battery's on 0%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, for me, that's just burnout. And it's scary because burnout for me is also a space where you stop caring. Barbara and I were actually having this conversation.
Literally last
yes,
week.
And we had to put a pin in it because we were getting deep into it.
And I was like, wait, you're going to spoil it. Let's
yeah.
do this on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Because actually, Cameron and I have been planning this conversation for how long now? Like,
yo,
it's
a
been
long time.
3 months, I think.
But you know what's scary, Barbara? That means for 3 months we've been burning out, hey?
Hey,
and not
that's
resting.
Crazy.
And only now we're
that's
talking about
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Because the entire time it was. And we weren't actually supposed to speak about burnout. We were going to
yes.
speak about I don't even know what we were going to speak about.
I think fitting in. Yes, we were going
to
speak about
that. But Cameron and I both kept like burning out. So the week that we're supposed to shoot with Cameron's like, oh no, I'm overwhelmed right now. This is what's going on in my life. And then he's ready to perform. But I'm like, no, I'm overwhelmed right now. There's a lot going on. And then one day we were just sitting and we're like, no, man. Let's talk about burnout.
Yes, literally. Because there was actually a day where burnout hit me hard. And for the first person I messaged was Barbara.
Mm.
I just messaged her. I'm like, Barbara, this is bad.
I'm dead.
I'm a zombie.
He was telling me how he literally puts his phone on
airplane
mode.
Yeah.
And I think I'm kind of the same. Like, when I'm burnt out, I start making reckless decisions. Mm. Like, I won't be doing assignments anymore. I can walk out of an exam room. Like, I can do some of the wildest things because I'm just like, I don't care. If I die, I die.
Yeah.
And that's just
kind of it. I really do. And the airplane mode thing is deep. Because it's kind of like, I know people are messaging me that need me right now, and I just put on airplane mode, and I'm literally like, I don't care. And it's scary because it gets to a place where I don't care about the negative consequences.
Yes.
And it's a thing of, Barbara, we've seen, like, our life has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
You know, and there's lots of opportunities, and we are moving forward, but then burnout can be this thing that can just completely interrupt the entire thing. I think where we want to kind of take this conversation is more like, you know, where have we seen that the negative consequences, you know, impact our life, you know?
Mm.
So I guess, like, I was answering more about what burnout is for me and how it affects me. I guess I wanted to ask you, are you in a space of burnout right now?
Right now?
When was the last time and, you know, what happened?
The last time I was burnt out, I think, was probably, like, the last week. But I'm, I'm still kind of creeping out of my burnout because I think there's, like, levels and stages to burnout. There are burnouts that you can still push through, and then there are burnouts that you just cannot push through.
No, I get you.
You're done. So I think when we speak about the airplane mode and all that stuff, that's like the extreme end of burnout. But I think the very first sign for me when I'm burnt out, what it looks like is I really don't want to talk to anyone, and it pains me. Like, I will watch the phone ring. You can call me, and I'll sit there.
I do the same. Like, I'll just stop responding to people.
Messages.
Completely.
But now what happens is, and I love that you said you're an I don't love that you're an overthinker, but I love that you said you're an overthinker.
Yes.
Because now for me, I start feeling guilty, and I think that's what causes the burnout.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can identify any patterns, and this is actually, like, there's this Bible plan that is on YouVersion called Breaking Busy, and one of the very first things that they ask you to do is look at the patterns and things that cause you to feel like you need to push yourself to work beyond more than you can actually give. And for me, one of the biggest reasons why I push myself to work beyond what I have the capacity for is guilt. Like, I feel guilty for letting people down. I feel guilty for just not being available 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, beyond my immediate needs, I tend to overextend myself to everyone else because I just want to be able to be dependable and
reliable.
And then you
don't
respond to messages. And now what happens is the guilt of not having responded to other people's messages is eating me, on top of the guilt
that.
Of already being tired.
I know that. I relate to that so much. And I think, the big one is reliable. I think...
Yeah.
There was somebody in my life was like hyping me up to somebody else, and he said the biggest thing about Cameron is that he's reliable.
Mr. Reliable.
And but see, that was scary because that put that pressure on me instantly, because I'm like, okay, that means everybody now thinks I'm reliable. That's a thing people think of when they think of me.
Mm.
And the problem is, once I set that standard for myself, it's like I have to continuously meet that.
Yeah.
And it's super hard. And I think in terms of patterns that you're talking about, and to get a bit more vulnerable, I think for me, it's not feeling good enough.
Mm.
It's kind of like, I need to prove to myself that I can meet all of this, so I know I am good enough within myself.
Mm.
It's a kind of thing of with my studies, with work. So I'm working full time, I'm studying full time.
Yeah.
I have church commitments.
Do
yeah, I do. And it's kind of like, for me, I tell myself, if I meet all of these things, I'm growing, I'm moving forward.
Yeah.
But as soon as I don't do these things, I'm not moving forward. So that means I'm not good enough.
Mm.
I need to prove to myself that I'm this person that's meeting all of these things. And I think in mixing that with yours as well, is that, like, I don't want to let people down. I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate that feeling. And it's like, if someone looks at me, they're like, okay, I can't depend on Cameron anymore. It's just like, it breaks my heart. And it's a thing of like, yes, I'm leaving people on red because I don't even have the energy to respond. And it takes 2 seconds to respond.
It really does. But that's the thing of the extremeness of being in a place of burnout is like, even the smallest tasks feel like...
I get you. And even like, you can't enjoy sleep properly. I get home and I'm like, sleep, wake up, let's go again. It's not even like I get to a place where I'm resting.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense. I'm just going to bed so that I can wake up for the next day, you know, type of thing.
Because you have to sleep now.
No, exactly. And, you know, also to mix in exercising, budgeting, you know, plans for the future, vision. Like, it's so much. It's like, where do I fit in all of this? It's kind of like, if I want to put exercising into my routine, I was like, I have to sacrifice
sleep
something else. And sleep is the thing I actually sacrifice the most. And then the next day, I'm miserable and I'm angry. And
because you didn't sleep.
No, exactly. And I think it was quite powerful was doing that. So the Bible plan Barbara was talking about. Mm. And one of the first things that they mentioned, I think in the first day, because it was a 5-day thing, was talking about putting God in control of your life. So it's kind of a thing, Barbara, do you feel like right now you... I have been putting God in control, or has it been more like you want to
be in control? I was actually going to ask you, like, when you're speaking about self-worth in relation to burning out, what does the truth say about your worth? Like, do you know the truth about your worth and actively choose to ignore it because it's just more satisfying to push harder right now?
Well, for sure. That's a good question.
Yeah.
It gets to a point, right? And... I know this is probably not the right answer, but it's just how I feel. No, I get you. But I think it's a thing of, you hear something so often that it loses its value.
Yes, you become familiar.
You become so familiar. So it's kind of like, people continuously will tell me, but no, God sees you this way, right? But it's as if I've heard it so often that it no longer has an effect. And it's kind of, that's been the struggle I've been having, is getting to a place where it has an effect on me again. Because now that it's not having an effect on me, it's like, cool, it's easier to believe that I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Because for me, I can see the evidence. I can see this from past stuff.
It's easy for you to pull stuff out.
Literally, it's easier. Because I think when it comes to now what God is saying, it also it requires surrender.
Yes.
It's being like, okay.
That's God. The most boring thing about God. Surrender.
It's boring, but it's the most challenging thing ever as well. So I think it's a thing of like, cool, I have to surrender my ways of thinking.
Yes.
I have to surrender, you know, wanting to be a control freak and being like, I have to meet this, I have to be. But actually being like, God, I don't trust my thought processes anymore. I'm going to trust what you are saying about me. And I think, it's boiling down to trust. It's boiling down to surrender. And it's boiling down to if I truly, truly believe that the word of God is the truth.
Yes.
And I think it's been this thing of like, that is my struggle because I'm a control freak. I want to know I'm meeting this, I'm doing this, I'm paving my path to a certain thing. But I think what I haven't been doing is actually being like, God, what is the future you want for me?
Yeah.
Not what the future I want for myself. You know, and I'm not speaking from a place like I've mastered this. I'm speaking from a place of I'm struggling in this right now. It's this ongoing thing like, sometimes I'll pray, I'm like, God, I'm struggling in this. Help me actually to trust you. So I think it's a thing of, I'm actively choosing not to look at the truth because it's easier to look at what I can see.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what it's boiling down to be honest. I don't know. Would you also say yours is like a self-worth thing? Do you actively choose to not see the...
No, I think mine is like you, the control aspect of things. Like, I want to have control. But also because I'm such a planner. Like, in my head, it just makes sense to follow my plan because my plan is the best. Yeah. You know, like, don't tell me about God's plan. But as you're speaking, it reminds me of the scripture in Deuteronomy that speaks about how, oh my word, why is the scripture... No, it's escaping me.
What was it about?
It's about the fact that God gives you the ability to make wealth, right?
Yeah.
But then also when you look at Genesis chapter 12, you know how God tells Abraham, leave your everything, go to a land that I will show you.
If
you read that, God says to him, I will make you a blessing, right?
Yes.
Families of the earth will be blessed through you. Mm. I will make you a great nation. I will make you famous.
Yeah.
And for me, when I read that scripture, what stood out for me was the fact that it's God that does the making. And over again in scripture, like the Bible speaks about how God is the one that brings the increase. God is the one that does the making. So why in my right mind do I want to work myself to the grave trying to achieve something that if I abided in God would come naturally, because
that's powerful.
He gives you what you need. You get vision, you get accurate vision. Like, okay, Cameron, instead of you working 12 hours by chopping down this tree with a blunt axe to get it down, you can actually just ask Kelsey for her sharpener, sharpen it quickly, and you could get the tree cut down in an hour. But if you didn't stop to surrender and spend time with God, you wouldn't have received that vision. You wouldn't have received that instruction. And you'd be sitting there for 12 hours when it took me an hour because I spent time with
God. That's so true.
It's crazy.
That's so, so true. Man, and based on that as well, I think that even boils down to decisions.
Yeah.
On a day-to-day basis, the decisions that we make. You know, the Bible plan was also talking about, like, in what we're committed to, in the decisions that we make, we actually ask God, is this what you want for me?
Yes.
Because I think in what you're saying as well, you actually touched on so many, like, amazing things there. It's like also where you said we can ask, like, Kelsey, for example, can you help me in this? Like, even in what we're doing, Barbara, do you also feel like we want to do it individualistically? Like, I don't want to ask for help. I need to do it, you know?
It has to be
me. Exactly. It has to be me. And like what you touched on there, that's also a thing of asking for help. Do I do that? No, I don't. Because it's like an ego
and
thing.
Can.
And that's the thing. It's I can. And there's many times as well, like, I'm not asking God, like, should I say yes to this? Should I say no to this? Because I think many times, like, I can say no. I can be like, okay, I actually can't do this week. I can do it maybe next week, you know? But it's like, for me, no. As we're tying in again, I need to be reliable. I need to be this. But that's the thing. We're also putting our worth in what people are thinking of us. That's what it's also coming down to, you know? And it's a thing of like, no, we should actually go, cool, I need to like surrender. I need to be pursuing God. I need to see what is God saying. And I should care more about how God is viewing the situation. So I think it's been that thing of, look, in having this conversation with you, it's like I want to kind of go out and be like, no, from now on I should say no because I also believe boundaries is a good thing.
Yes,
you know,
but also again, it's like if God has called me to love people, how do I have boundaries? Do you know what I mean?
Why do I
have boundaries? How can I say no if my whole existence is to be a servant?
Okay, yeah, so we...
Does that make sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense. Mm. So I believe, yes, we're supposed to love people, but I don't think love is healthy when it comes to at the cost of your mental health.
Yes.
Because then are you really loving, you know? I've noticed that, like, when I'm doing too much, and I'm saying, I'm telling myself, no, I'm loving this person, I'm being a servant, resentment actually comes into the mix.
Speak on it.
Exactly. So then are we truly loving?
Yeah.
You know? So that's why I think boundaries are actually for. And I don't think like God is a God of like also order and not like chaos. And I think there is structure to it as well, you know? So I do believe that even in loving people, even in being servant-heartedness, it's kind of like there is boundaries, you know? There is structure to it as well. I don't think God's sitting there like, yes, love these people until you're dead, you're in the grave, you know? Then people have to come and like pray for your resurrection, you know? Like literally, we don't want that situation.
Mm.
So it's a thing of like, I do believe that we can say no. And I was actually reading somewhere that when you're growing up and it's either your parents or people in your life, if you said no to something and they made you feel guilty for it, that's actually what's gone into our minds.
Scary.
That's why we feel guilty to say no.
Yeah.
Because our no wasn't a no to that person. It was like, no, your no is going to be my yes.
Mm.
You know, like I'm going to convert it. Like it has to be a yes. And I think it's kind of breaking those things of like, no, it's okay to say no. And in that same book that I was reading, I'm saying that if you say no and that person doesn't respect you after that, they weren't a true friend from the get-go.
Yeah.
They don't truly love you.
Do you know what the challenge is?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the same in brown families as it is, like, well,
yeah.
Yeah. Is that like as a black child you're taught never to say no?
Oh yeah, yeah. Are you backchatting me? They slap you right there.
Yeah.
No, I get you. That's actually such a wow. Also, that's, like you think of that as well. Like
crazy.
Flip. It was kind of like there was a level of like, no, you're not allowed to disagree with me as well. And maybe that's where this is coming from as well. You know.
Shout out to our parents though, we do
really do. Thank you for everything. But I think that is an element of it that maybe now we have to unlearn, if that makes sense. Because, yeah, I read these things, but it's still hard to practice, you know?
But I think also the more you read these things, like, the more revelation you get from it each time.
No,
because I also actually heard something on the topic of boundaries, where someone was like, God is not a God of no boundaries, because even when he created the earth, he told the seas where to stop.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a time limit for the sun to be up in the air. There's a time limit for the moon to be up in the air. There's a time limit for everything. And God is a God, like you were saying, of structure and of order.
Yes.
So why would you think that there's no need for you to have structure and order in your life?
Exactly.
But then there was also something, a sermon I was listening to this week, and this person was speaking about loving your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what you were speaking on about love, about how you can't necessarily love someone at the cost of your mental health.
Yeah.
And then immediately my mind went, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Like, the lengths that I'm willing to go to see you mentally well, I should be able to go for myself. And I can't say that I actually am loving people if I'm neglecting myself in the process, because then it's not love, it's a show.
Exactly. Someone like once explained this analogy to me. Basically, when you're on a plane and the plane's now, let's say it's crashing and there's lack of oxygen, you know the masks come down, right?
Yes.
If you have a child next to you, they say do not try and put the mask on the child first. You got to put it on yourself first, because if you pass out, you won't be able to help the child. And it's a thing of like, you got to help yourself first before you help somebody else. And that's the thing. Sometimes we are suffocating, but we're trying to help somebody else. But how effective are you actually going to be in helping someone if you haven't helped yourself first?
And in your burnout, like when you're trying to help people, do you find that you are effective? Or does it cause more pain and hurt?
I think so. Hey, like, so I'm actually involved in a space called Urban Recovery. So that's for people who suffer with addiction or any sort of like addictive behavioral patterns.
Yeah.
You can come into the space. So I serve there, I lead
there. Maybe I should come there for working.
Yeah, workaholic addiction.
Yes.
Maybe next time I'm there, I'll confess that as well. But the thing is, I've noticed is that these people are broken and they're coming in and they're needing help and they need support and love and care. And I've just noticed is that when I have nothing left to give and I'm there, it's I've even noticed within myself, they'll be speaking to me, they will be needing that support, and I cannot give it to them.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, I've sometimes seen the disappointment in their face, or they're just like, oh well, okay, you know, maybe I can't get help, you know. And it always worries me, because I'm like, flip, I have that passion to help these people, I really do.
Yeah.
But there's nothing inside of me to give. Mm. So I'm not effective. And, you know, I've even noticed, you can see that in all areas as well. Like, whether even not like at a support group type of setting, even at church, even at like other spaces in your household, in any place. If you are not filled up, there's nothing to pour
to
into
give.
Other
how
people.
How you are in one area is literally how you are in every other
exactly.
area.
Exactly. And sometimes we like to compartmentalize everything. Like, cool, just because I'm feeling burnt out in this space, that's fine. I can still meet all the other things. But in essence, it's kind of everything's mushed together. If you are like burnt out, it's gonna leak into family, it's gonna leak into your work, into church, into absolutely everything. So I would kind of say that, like, we shouldn't compartmentalize and see that if you're feeling burnt out, it's going to leak into everything. So you're actually not going to be effective at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you, speaking on compartmentalization.
Yes.
That's even
Ooh,
a
it's
word.
A nice word. Eh?
Compartmentalization.
Yes.
Is, I think with God, we also tend to do the same thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, when
yes.
it comes to our relationship with God, we compartmentalize things.
That's so true.
How do you, or how are you actively trying? Because I know we're still working
we're still
on
in
this
that
thing.
Process, yeah.
How are you actively trying to involve God in every single area of your life to avoid overextending yourself and striving or putting on a show for people?
Yeah, so there was actually a day where I kind of hit that end of myself, right? And I went to go and see somebody. It's actually one of the pastors at or the preachers at this church that we're at. And, you know, I was asking him, because I needed actually help on leadership. And I remember I was telling him, like, how do I lead more effectively? How do I do A, B, and C? And I was expecting, like, a long list of tips and tricks and all of these things. But he was actually telling me that what he does is that he actually just scraps the tips and tricks and stuff, and he seeks God first. Because he said when you seek God first, it actually influences everything else. Yeah. So he was telling me, he was asking me, like, what do you like when you're not prioritizing God in your life, you know?
Very scary.
I said, I'm actually down. People are always asking me what's wrong. You know, I look tired. They ask if I'm angry, you know, because that's my face can look that way. And I'm not enthusiastic. But he said, okay, Cameron, what are you like when you are seeking God, you know? And I said, no, I'm joyful, I'm happy, you know, I can make it infectious towards other people.
Yeah.
In my work, I'm more productive, I'm more this, I'm more that. So you're saying, actually, the only tip I have for you is just go and seek God, involve Him in everything. So in terms of like that, with me struggling and stuff, I've just noticed is that it's being intentional with God.
Yes.
So it's not like, cool, oh, now I have a little bit more time, maybe I'll spend time with God now. It's actually like, cool, when I wake up, I'm like, I'm going to pursue God first. That's the first thing I'm going to do in my day. So it's getting into worship and prayer and actually making time for it. And I've noticed that once I do that, this level of peace just enters me. And and the strength that I didn't have before, I'm like, wow, okay, cool. And when I'm struggling, when I'm feeling that overwhelmingness, it's like, cool, because I started off my day with God, because I'm actively saying, God, I'm going to involve you in everything. It's like, I feel God there. And it's like, okay, God, I'm struggling right now. Can you just give me wisdom? Can you give me discernment? Can you give me that strength? Can you give me that peace? And then from there, like, it kind of just changes everything. So it's kind of like a thing I'm trying to, not perfect. It's just involving God in everything, knowing that I'm starting my day off with Him. I'm ending my day off with Him too. It's as I'm keeping Him there, because as soon as I remove Him, that's when it's like, cool, I want to control everything. I want to do this. I want to prove to myself. I want to feed my ego. Instead of being like, cool, I actually want to pursue God in everything that I do. That's kind of.
And how do you take the pressure off yourself to like pursue God? I don't know if that.
No,
makes
I
sense.
Get you. Like where it's just like, oh no, I need to make time for God.
Yes.
You know, type of thing. Yeah, I see. I guess the pressure comes is when we treat that like any other task.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so it's kind
that's
of a thing of like,
crazy.
Cool, work, okay, I gotta do work, gotta get that done. I don't really want to be at work, but I gotta get that done.
Yeah.
Cool, varsity, I need to study, I just see it task-orientated. But you see, task-orientated also fits into religion, like the type of thing, religion is all rules and guidelines and tasks that you need to, and sometimes we'll tell ourselves with religion is that the more task-orientated I make it, the more closer I'll get to God, and that's when the pressure comes in, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as I say, like, no, I'm not going to make it task-orientated, it's just about my relationship with God.
Mm.
It's kind of like doing this today, I didn't see it as a task, I was like, I actually want to talk to Barbara today.
Thank God.
You know? I actually do want to talk to Barbara today. People in my life, my family, it's like, I want to. It's not a task, it's like, you know, and I think we need to view God in that way as well. It's not a task. I don't need to put pressure on myself. It's like, cool, God, I actually want to spend time with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to experience your love, you know? I want to worship you right now.
Yeah.
I think that's actually what removes the pressure. And then I know, like, cool. Because I think when we put the pressure, it's like, okay, if I miss this, God's going to be angry
at me. He's
going
to do this.
You know, it's not going to, you know, I'm going to lose, you know, the Holy Spirit suddenly.
Yes.
It's not the case at all. So that's kind of my answer.
And what is the thing that you do to make it a relationship? Like, do you have something in particular that makes it feel more relationshipy than tasky?
So obviously it's like to spend time with God, I pray,
mm-hmm.
I go into worship, I read the word. But I think what makes it feel more like a relationship is I involve God in the small things.
Okay.
If that makes
sense.
Give
us an example, like what's a,
you know, like sometimes I'll even be, you know, listening to a song that I really like, or I had this good moment with a friend, or something was really funny, and I'll kind of like tell God, like,
God.
No, I don't know, I won't go too much into that. It's kind of like a thing of, I'll be like, God, that was really cool. Like, did you see that? Like, thank you for,
you know,
I actually be like,
crazy.
Thank you for this, and
like,
thank
God
you
is
for
your
this
friend.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
So I think that removes it, like, it's the strict, like, okay, God, I have to, like, say it like this and say that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I involve Him in the small things. I think that's what kind of helps me, you know, make it feel that way, more like a relationship as well. And being very vulnerable in it. I think also when you make it like, not like a relationship, it'll be like, okay, God, this, and this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also being vulnerable, being like, God, I'm struggling right now.
It's bad, God.
You know, I am. I really am struggling, and I really need you now, and, you know, I just want to be with you. It's like, I am really making it like a relationship right now. So I'd say that's kind of how it is for me.
Okay, I know it feels like I'm just like throwing a
No, it's all good. It's really all good.
But I'm curious to know, like, in terms of your night routine.
Yeah.
Because obviously you're someone who works like a lot
and
around the clock. So when it comes to sleeping at night, at which point do you close your laptop? Like, oh, what do you goodness. Decide is that now?
So I'd say, like, to be honest, my biggest weakness right now is probably my night routine.
Oh, really?
100%. Because I think, and it's not more that it's like not when to close my laptop. It's kind of like I haven't rested the whole day, right? And by the time, like, I'll come home from commitments and stuff, sometimes it'll be 9, 10 at night, right?
Yo,
and
oh my God.
Realistically, I should, like, go to bed.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I want hours of sleep. What I tell myself is that, no, I deserve some rest. So I'll watch YouTube for another hour, you know, another hour or two. I'll watch a movie because I tell myself I need this to cope. But then the problem is that then I'm sleeping at 12 or 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting up at 6. You know, and if I want to exercise to fit it in with work and stuff, I have to wake up at 5, you know, and then I'll jog
and
at that time.
You still have to pray, so
you know,
four.
Pray and like all of those things, right? So it's a thing of, my night routine's messy because it's either that whatever, wherever my commitment is, I'm not leaving on time.
Mm.
So, you know, it's having that boundary and being like, guys, cool, wherever
Thank
I'm at,
so
at
much.
9, I have to leave.
Mm.
Sometimes the conversation's good, there's the fear of missing out and all of those
things.
So then I will stay there until that conversation is done. Now it's 10, now I'm getting home at 10:30. Okay, now I need rest, now I need this. I'm hungry, I haven't eaten, I also need to eat, you know? And it's all these things, and I think it's coming more with, I need to add more structure, I need to add more boundaries. Cool, at 9 I go home, cool. From 9 to 9:30, I'm spending time with God, and then I can go to sleep. Because see, what I also touched on there is that I'm putting my rest into YouTube, when maybe I should be doing that in God. I should be finding rest in God, you know?
It's hard.
It's very
it's
hard.
It's not easy.
It's very hard because I think, like, the human aspect of us doesn't want to. It's like, no, just do the other stuff, you know? Like, no, I don't really want to. That won't work. But in reality, every time I've been like, cool, I'm not going to go to YouTube. I'm actually going to pray and spend time with God. There's a shift that comes.
Do you know,
in.
That's the wild part for me. Because I always, like, ask myself, like, why do you keep going back to the thing that you know is not good for you?
I know.
Because you felt what it's like
I know.
To have the good
I
thing.
I know. It's
it
crazy.
It doesn't make sense.
It's crazy.
It doesn't make sense. Like, it's like our bodies actively want the bad thing, the thing that will finish you.
It's true. It's really true. And I've seen that even, like, because I've been on this journey of exercising and trying to get that more consistent.
Yo, please, spirit of exercise, attack me.
There we go. So it's been a thing of, like, even waking up at 5, and then I'm like, cool, I'm going to go jog now. Nothing inside of me wants to jog.
Scary.
Nothing. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't want to do this. But as soon as, you know, I just overcome that hurdle, and I'm like, I'm just going to start jogging. Literally, like, 10 minutes into my jog, I'm like, I'm loving this.
Loving?
Yes, I love jogging. I know it's a... Yeah. So it's been a thing of... I think I see it the same. I think our flesh is like, no, I don't want to, you know, I want to pursue everything else. And it's just, if you just get over that hurdle, like, I've even found, like, a minute into just praying or being in worship, I'm loving it already. But it was just getting over that, like, resistance, if that makes sense, you know? So... It's been kind of that for me with that. I don't know how you felt with everything I've just said. Like,
perfect.
Yeah,
I love it.
Perfect.
I'm taking notes in my head because I'm like, I should probably add more structure to my life routine.
Yeah.
Because this morning I actually was challenged when I woke up. And like, I woke up and the first thing I wanted to do was edit. I literally was like, Barbara, it's so crazy that you wake up, you're not thinking about food. You're not thinking about, you just want to open your laptop. Are you fine? Are you okay?
I get you. We have someone here.
Chris is sitting on the other side. He's been walking with like an extension cord to his face.
Trying to make us laugh
and distract us. But the enemy will not prosper here at this podcast.
Not at all.
So, yes, Chris is our enemy. Do you want to say hi, Chris? Do you have something to say? Nothing.
No, I'm just gonna make a phone call.
He's camera shy.
He is, eh?
But when you were speaking about the YouTube thing, I think for me, actually, watching YouTube and Netflix is one of the biggest ways that I know that I'm not okay emotionally and mentally.
I actually get you.
Because I think there was a time period where I started going to therapy.
Yeah.
And the therapist asked me, like, the amount of work you do in a day is a bit ridiculous. What are you running away from? And I was like, what? What do you mean?
What
am I running away from?
Stop
I'm not running away
me
from
right
anything.
Now.
There's nothing I'm running away from.
Yeah.
And what I noticed is, because I'm not generally a TV person, like, I don't watch TV. I don't watch Netflix.
Similar.
I don't want anything.
Yeah.
So why is it that when you want to rest, that's what you want to do? It's because
so
I'm trying to keep my mind busy with something else so that I don't have to confront what is actually
happening
in my head.
No, like,
not like I'm fighting demons or anything.
No,
but
no,
just like,
I get you. Like, so I was talking about like the self-worth thing, right? Me not feeling good enough. And to be honest, I think that's what I'm running away from.
Yeah.
It's actually dealing with that. Where is that coming from? Why am I feeling that way?
Because those things get confronted in the presence of God.
No, listen. That's true. The refinement process, eh?
No.
It's so true. I think in drowning ourselves in work, we are running away from something.
Yeah.
And I think maybe God is like calling us to be like, cool, I don't want you to do that. I want you to seek me and let's deal with it. You know, let's deal with it. But it's hard. Like, as much as we're saying these things, I know it's very hard. Who wants to deal with past stuff? Who wants to deal with that like inner thing that's hurting us?
And
you
the
know?
Thing is, you might not even think that there's something inside of you that's hurting or something broken or anything like that. I think for a lot of people, it's just like, no, I'm just naturally a hard worker. I'm a hard worker. But genuinely, I think if you take the time to actually pause and sit with yourself, like, say, I'm not going to work. You know, last week, I was having this conversation with Mash.
Yeah.
And he was saying to me, he gave me the scripture from Luke chapter 10 of Martha and Mary.
Yeah.
And Mary was in the kitchen again, back at Selfworth. Yeah. Well, for me, that's how I read it. So Martha's in the kitchen. She's like doing a million and ten things for Jesus. Like, I'm preparing food for Jesus.
Yes.
I'm about to throw it down for Jesus.
Yes.
And Mary was just kind of like sitting at his feet.
Yeah.
So then Martha comes into the kitchen and she's like, yo, dog Jesus, I hope the day you start handing out blessings, I'm going to get the biggest gold medal, because you see those hands sitting here by your feet. I'm out here slaving, doing 10
wow,
million things for you.
Yeah, I see
and Jesus says to him, to her, he's like, the thing with Mary is Mary has chosen the good thing.
Yes.
Mary has chosen to be in my presence because I'm here right
now.
Yeah. And that's the truth. With God is like, God is with us right now and he wants to spend time with you right now,
right
in
now,
the midst
yeah.
of your pain, in the midst of your stresses and your anxieties. And it feels like there's so many things that you have to do, so many things that you need to get to.
Yeah.
But spending that time with God is always the better thing to choose. And I think when it got back to Martha and how I saw myself as a Martha, was like, I actually find that a lot of the pressure that I attach to being so busy is because there's so many different things I'm trying to achieve for Jesus.
Yeah.
But I'm not being with Jesus.
With Jesus, yeah.
And being with Jesus is so much better than me trying to prove my worth for having a seat at the table with God, when God really is just like, bro, whether you do 20 things or 5 things, you're still going to get to sit here because you're my kid. And it stays like that forever.
Wow. That was really powerful.
That was wild.
No.
But then Mash was like, so I want you on Friday to close your laptop at 5. Stop working. I said 5. I thought he was going to say,
that's
I was like, Mash, 5 is a bit ridiculous. Imagine closing your laptop at 5 to sit.
No, it's crazy. The times I've closed it early, it's like, I don't know what to do with myself now.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm not getting enough done, you know? It's not a nice feeling. But maybe that's the thing we need to practice, is choosing a time and being like, cool, I'm going to close it now. And if I feel that urge to go back to, okay, now I'm actually going to spend time with Jesus.
That's the time to go back to God.
I think that's when, maybe that's our goal for
and
maybe
find
the next
actual
week. Yeah.
Rest.
Yeah, that is true. Rest looks different for each person.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes rest can be spending time with your family. Sometimes rest can be watching a movie. Sometimes rest for some people is coming to church. But I think it's also identifying how do we rest as individuals.
Yeah.
Because maybe for someone just sitting and doing nothing, that's not really rest. You know, maybe it's something else.
For me, it's getting away from people.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then, like, you know, it's important that we identify that.
It's true. It's true, Chris.
No.
I really have to just get away from people and be silent.
Yeah. Well, this is a good conversation.
But sometimes
you
have to be with people.
Sometimes
are
you
a people person? Do you recharge? No,
I don't recharge with people. I was trying to debate, like, am I a people person? So,
like,
no, I do not recharge with people. Not at all. Like, for me, when my social battery depletes, I become a silent monk.
Yeah.
I literally just sit there and I don't care. Like, people ask me questions, I'm like, yeah, I'm good, cool, just want to go home.
Thank you.
But I think that's where even balance comes in, because I think we can't do life
without
people. Without
people.
We need people. We need community. We need, you know, we need people. So I think it's having that balance. Cool, I need to recharge, go home. That's where my rest occurs.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, you're introverted. Yeah, you said you recharge at home. So it's a thing of, because we're so busy, and maybe sometimes we're spending too much time with people as well, we're not recharging.
I literally speak
and
for
then,
a living.
Yeah, literally you do. So it's the thing is, that carries over though. You know, like the next day, cool, again, and you haven't recharged.
Yeah.
So I think it's a thing of knowing when we've recharged, because I've noticed when I spend too much time with people, when I spend too much time at home, then it turns into isolation.
Yes.
Then it turns into like, okay,
and
now
that's
where the enemy is hitting me there, you know, and then I'm having these negative thoughts. So I think it's having that balance. Cool, I've recharged.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to, you know, go and spend time with people. It's having that balance right there.
You know, fun fact, that's actually why I started like sneaking out to come to SNL again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because yeah. I realized, I was like, I actually think that I need to be amongst people, because a lot of the times it's like when I am resting on a Sunday, I'm by myself. But because yeah. Monday to Saturday, I'm working, yeah. I'm by myself still. Yeah. Yeah. So I need to make time to intentionally rest during the people. And I remember actually the one Sunday I was sitting with you by the couch. I don't know if you remember. We were sitting there. I don't even know what conversation we were having. We were sitting there, and literally when I got home, I journaled and I was like, God, thank you for these friends of mine.
Oh, really?
Because I'm whole again. I was like, it's so crazy because I know people, not like people eat from me, like draw energy from me and deplete me in a bad way, but like people generally like deplete me, like
no, I get you. And some people do it better than others, they drain me, like, and I'm like, yo dude, you do that twice as fast as usual. By 3 p.m. I'm already out, you know, like, oh dude.
I'm scared. But I, also there's something that you actually said, and maybe we will say this in closing. Okay. We're definitely wrapping this up. Cool. Santana and Kuda are gonna shoot me if I don't release you now. Okay. But there's something that you said, and I really would love for you to share with everyone. Sure. At the prayer. And this is actually funny because I had seen Cameron on the Thursday, and Cameron was looking like a zombie, being extra wild about the things that he had to do. His phone is on airplane, which is being like a zombie. I don't know how else to describe it.
A walking dead.
And then Sunday, we're like, he's leading prayer, and there's Cameron. Hi guys, everyone, welcome to prayer. I'm like, huh? This is not the Cameron I was speaking to. Like, this is not the person that I know. But you touched on something that was so insane about how the kind of person that you are when you're burnt out versus the kind of person that you are when you're not burnt out, what that does to people around you, and the thing that you need to hold on to make sure that that doesn't happen. So give it to us, Mr. Wise Cameron.
Yeah, no,
and then
so
we'll wrap it up.
So in terms of that, yes, I was feeling extremely burnt out. And the topic I had for it was a prayer moment, and also calling people, all the volunteers, like calling them out to do something, you know, giving them vision for the day. And my topic was choosing joy. And it was hard because I'm like, I'm feeling like a zombie. I'm feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I'm feeling burnt out. I have no joy inside of me. And, you know, in doing that, I came across, I don't know it off by heart, but it's in Hebrews. And it basically says that there was joy set before Jesus in enduring the cross. And it was quite powerful because it's like, wow, Jesus had to suffer on the cross, but there was joy set before him because he knew the purpose behind it. He knew the ripple effect it would have. Mm. And it was kind of this thing like, cool, when you know your purpose, when you know what you're doing, where you're going, you can get that joy from Jesus. Because I found myself that when I was trying to get it from everything else, it was so temporary. Because when I took that step back and I'm like, cool, I'm burnt out, but I'm going to get that eternal joy from Jesus. And that's where that energy came from, where I was just like, wow. And everybody, so many people came up to me. They're like, how do you speak like that? You know? And I was just like, Barbara saw me. She's like, ah, where did that energy come from? Where, just now I saw you, you know, you were looking all dead and stuff. And that's the thing. Like, I want to encourage you guys that if you're feeling that burnt out feeling, you're feeling tired, know that you can always access that joy from Jesus.
Yeah.
100%. So that's my encouragement to everybody.
It's
today.
Okay to switch off.
It really is.
Switch off your phone today.
Today, yes. Airplane mode.
Oh, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Barbara,
by,
for having me.
Please make sure that you do follow Cameron on Instagram. I think his Instagram is very... These boys, just their Instagrams, guys. I don't know why they don't post, but you can follow him for vibes.
Yeah, for vibes. I'll provide the vibes.
Yes.
I really will.
Always. Your stories are fun.
Yes,
yes,
I shall post
it's
stories
happening.
For you guys.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, okay. Man, thank you guys. Cool. Bye.